It's a set and honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And here we are, Parshas Tazria Misoira, a jam-packed Parsha. We have so much to do, like we say every week. So many questions, so many yesaidis. So let us begin. Perek Yud Beis Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Hashem speaks to Moshe. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, and say to Klal Yisrael Lemor, Isha ki tazria v'yalda zachar v'tamei shivas yamim kemei nidas dolasa titma. The Torah tells us that if when a woman has a baby boy, she'll be tamei for 7 days. U'bayom ha'shmini yimol b'sol ar laso. And on the 8th day, she should give her son should get a breast milah. And then the Torah says for 33 days, she's going to be Tahara. And if she gives birth to a baby girl, 14 days, she is Tameh. And 66, she is Tahor. Question one. Again, as we always do, we ask a couple of questions. And hopefully, we're going to come out with that big yesod, big foundation point. Question one, the obvious question that everyone's going to be speaking about is what in the world does tumah, does this idea of being impure, have to do with childbirth? You could think, we know the Gemara's talk about at the end of, in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, talks about tumah and kalim. My father just told me, you shout out to my father, he just told me he's learning Masechet Kalim. Oh! All the intricacies of Maseches Kalim, the Perushim on Mishnayis, they learn that in Bris, Kalim. So again, we have Tumah and Tahara, and we have all these different things. What in the world is that? You wouldn't think that there should be any Tumah by a Yoledes. A person, a lady has a baby, that should be the most amazing. Why is there Tumah there? Question one. Seemingly, it also says on the 8th day there's a bris milah. Why is that thrown in here? Right away, you're talking about bris milah. Why dafke 8? Last week, we spoke about the difference, the maharal, between 7 and 8, and we spoke about the sin, parshas Shmini, of Nadav Avihu. They were very kaddish people, but they tried to be milah min ha-teva. They tried to be greater than they really were, and they weren't. They just took the inspiration, but we spoke about the Yiro. It's a little chazoni. But why smack? Why 8 day? 8 days for bris milah? What's the pshat? We know that's the halacha, but why? What does that have to do with tumah? Furthermore, the Torah after talks about the tumah yoledes, when a woman has a baby and she's tumah, it starts talking about saras, and it starts talking about this nega, and how a person has to go to the kohen. And there's a very fascinating lashon. The Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Tazria, it says, "V'ra'ah ha'kohen, perek yigimel pasuk nunhei, v'ra'ah ha'kohen acharei hakabuset hanega." It's talking about how you have to wash the begadim that they got saras. It's not quite, we refer to saras as leprosy, but it's really some type of form which we're going to speak more about. This idea of lashon hara, what it is all about. V'hine lo hafach hanega es eino. And the affliction was not changed. S-A-N-O. V'anega lo pasha. Very strange that it has to say this Lushin. Hanega S-A-N-O. With the I. He could have just said lo hafach hanega. And as we know, you have to go and bring it to the Kohen. What's that all about? You have to go and bring it to the Kohen. So what's this Lushin? What is this nega of saras? What it's all about? And furthermore, question three, if you see Tazria Mitzayra, it's very interesting. In the beginning it talks about the tumah, the tzaras of a person, that he gets it all over his guf. Then the Torah goes on and talks about the tzaras in the begadim, and you have to destroy the begadim. You have to try to get it out, you have to destroy it. And then in the beginning of Parshas Mitzayra, Tazria Mitzayra, the whole Parsha this year, that we talk about the fixing up, the carbon, trying to fix up what the sin was. And then all of a sudden, it talks about the tumah of the tzaras in the house. Why are we doing that? Why are we putting the saras? Why are we separating it? The saras of a person, the saras of a house. What's that going on? Well, what's the connection? So again, we have a lot of different questions going on. The first main question is, what does Tumah have to do with childbirth? Also, why Bris Milah on the eighth day specifically? Why is it on the eighth day? Furthermore, how come the Torah refers to it as a nega, and you have to, and it says the word eino with this nega? And lastly, what's the Torah saying? What's the order of the psukim, the order of Tazria Metzora that it talks about? It talks about the person himself, and then it talks about the begadim, tells you how to rectify it, and then it goes into the bias. What's that all about? So we're going to attack the first question and try to figure out what is this Tumah. Comes along Rabbeinu Bechai, who's one of the great Rishonim. He lived in 1255, 1340. The great Rabbeinu Bechai wrote Chovos HaLevavos. And Rabbeinu Bechai gives a very perplexing reason why there's Tumah. You know, a full shot in it. Love to hear. He says that the reason is because every time a woman has a baby, we know that Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra, and since they ate from the Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra, therefore her punishment was childbirth. The childbirth was going to be hard. So therefore, every single time that there's a baby born, says Rabbeinu Bechai, as a Rishon talking to Divrei Kabbalah, is that we bring in Adam and Chava, and she sinned, so therefore there's some type of Tumah. Wow, interesting. Very interesting answer. That's one reason why when a woman has a baby, that there's Tumah. Comes along the Heiliger Kotzker, the Kotzker Rebbe, who lived in 1787 to 1859. It's always good, you know, you should always know when these people lived. You hear the Kotzker, you hear like the Kotzker, and you think he's a Rishon. He's not. He's one of the end of the Achronim. You have to know. But comes along the Heiliger Kotzker, and he says the Gevaldic idea. He says, the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Tainus that a Kadosh Baruch Hu did not give us certain keys. He gave us a lot of keys, and we have the keys with our tefillah, with our davening. But there are certain keys that he didn't give us. He didn't give us the key of Tchiyas HaMeisim, of reviving the dead. And he didn't give this the key of childbirth. Now, man is a partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam, as the Gemara says in Kedushin and Nida Daf Lamed Aleph, famous Gemara, that man is a shutif with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we all know that a person has to, on the Aseres HaDibros, keep it out of aim, is on the Ben Adam LaMakom side, because there's an element that man is also a creator with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's an element that parents are creators, obviously. However, the Ribbono Shel Olam did not give us the key of childbirth. It has to be with Siyata Dishmaya. The Ribbono Shel Olam has to bless people with children, and we don't have the total key. So when a person has a child, the Shekhinah is in the room. The Shekhinah is there. So since the Shekhinah is there, once the child is born, the Shekhinah leaves, says the Kotzker. And once the Shekhinah leaves, so therefore, there's Tumah. We see that the Shekhinah is all over. The Rambam writes, very interesting, the Rambam writes that in Yerushalayim, in the Makom HaMikdosh, so that there's Shekhinah there. That's why some people are very makbid. I remember always my father, we used to always go. We would bring the Dalet Minim, and we'd go and do Deoraisa in the Kaisel. Why? Because it might be a Deoraisa. Because Shekhinah, according to Rambam, is specifically in the Old City. They say a great story. Where else do we find Shekhinah? Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all around us, but the Shaila is, when is there the Shekhinah? Again, we don't have the Goli Shekhinah. We're getting close to the Gula. We know we're in a crazy time right now, and we're getting close. Again, as I said last week, My kids are shocked. The Mashiach's not here. With everything going on, locked in our houses, we still don't have shuls, and no one knows what's going to be. No one knows when this is going to end, and we have to daven hard. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us, but when is there a Shechina? So there's a great story of the Baal Shem Tov. He turned to one of his Talmidim, and he said, you have to go to a great tzaddik's house. So the person went to this great tzaddik's house, and went for Shabbos. And it was a normal Shabbos. Friday night was normal, it was nice. And then Shabbos day, nice, normal, and the Talmud was thinking to himself, like, why would the Baal Shem Tov, like, send me to this guy? He's a good guy, it's a nice, nice Shabbos meal, whatever, but come on, this is Baal Shem Tov. And then came Shalosh Shudas. And the man said, Shalosh Shudas by me, the whole community comes to his house, and it's amazing. After Shabbos, the guy turns to him and says, wow, that's unbelievable. Why specifically Shalosh Shudas did you do that? So he said, what do you mean? We know that on Shabbos, the Shechina's with us. And at Shalosh Shudas is the last moments, right before Shkia. The Shechina's leaving us. I got to get everyone together. Bahamonam. We got to get everyone there. So since if I need everyone there, the guy's like, now I understand why the Baal Shem Tov sent me to this guy. He's got a tzaddik. He wanted because Shechina, when we bring in Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Crazy, Nissan's over already. No more freebie with Tachnun. We love freebies, Tachnun. That's what Jews love. Jews love freebies, right? We love being, now we're not in a shul. We can't even, put the arm on our head, but we love freebies, right? What do we love the most? Going to a bris milah, or when you don't have to do Tachnun, you get 5 minutes with Kriyas HaTorah, because we love our minutes. Okay, now we don't, we have to daven hard. We got to daven hard. We get our shuls back. So that's one idea. That's another idea. That since the Shechina, says the Kutzker, since the Shechina leaves us, so therefore, that's why there's Tumah. Okay, good. Answer two. Answer three. Again, different sections here. We'll put it all together. Don't worry. I'm trying to make it show it. Hopefully, it'll work out. Answer three. I once heard from Rav Aryeh Leibowitz, great Rav in Five Towns. Unbelievable. So Rav Aryeh Leibowitz said, very nice idea, that when you have a child, so mamish and mor kaddish, unbelievable, but then, raising the child is not so easy. It could be a little tummy, a little tumah. But then after the tumah, the hardness, you work, sweat it out, Bez Hashem, there'll be a tahara, there'll be some type of process after. So it's talking about the formulation of the child working hard. Okay, nice answer. I saw that Fran asked this question. He's very happy. Oh, beautiful. He's looking through different Divrei Torah, Parshas here. And Rabbi Fran says also a similar idea to the Kutzker. However, he believes, he quotes down a Kuzari. And the Kuzari defines Tumah as the void left by the absence of Kedusha. Whenever Kedusha is withdrawn from the world, quoting from his book, Beautiful Refrain on the Parsha, the void it leaves behind is filled with Tumah. In this light, we can understand how a blessed event such as childbirth brings Tumah. During her pregnancy and throughout the moment of delivery, the mother achieves a spark of the divine. She is a creator of human life. And this gives her great Kedusha. But right after childbirth, this additional Kedusha leaves her, and the void it leaves behind was filled with Tumah. And he says, that's exactly. Why is it that a woman has a girl, it's 14 days of Tumah and 66. However, for a boy, it's 7 and 33. Why is that? Beautiful. Based on this, it works out great because when you have a girl, she also has a potential of giving birth. So her level of Kedusha is greater. And therefore, it's double because the Kedusha is coming both for the mother and the baby girl. But for a man, even though nowadays doesn't happen, that a man could give birth went on 20 years. So crazy, for sure. I mean, obviously, it doesn't really happen. It doesn't work. But a man can't give birth. A man could be a partner in creation, but he can't give birth. So therefore, it's only seven. It's only 7 and 33. Why specifically is Bris Milah on day 8? So a couple reasons. One reason is because, as we said last week, that day 8 represents the idea of Milah Min HaTeva, that you have 7 and then 8 is supernatural. That's one answer. Another answer is, based on what we were just saying before, that there's a medrash in Kitetze that says that a baby needs to have Shabbos. So it needs to have 7 days with a Shabbos, and then day eight is the bris, because without a Shabbos, without the Kedusha of Shabbos, the Shechina, so therefore, he won't be the same. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim gives another answer. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim that there's a level for the baby that he's stronger. And it's so interesting, because if you look in science, and they did definitely different experiments and different things, that the baby is the strongest and ready to get the surgery the most of his life the 8th day. Look, Google it up. It's unbelievable. The science and Torah, everything comes from the Torah. Well, you know that sometimes, you know. But everything's from the Torah. But this is glaring. You don't need science books. This is the Torah. This is the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim. That the baby is the strongest peak on the 8th day of his life. That's why Dafka the 8th day. Okay. So again, we see this idea of there's tumah after, because there's kedusha, and in the absence of kedusha, is tumah. Okay. Now, what's going on with saras? There's so much stuff going on with saras. What's it all about? Is there a different type of saras between the saras of a person himself and saras of the house? So I heard from Rav Isaacson of Shimon Maseret. He said, beautiful. He quoted down the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Yud Aleph, that the saras of a house, the Medrash says that someone comes to borrow, and the person says, I don't have. And then all of a sudden, the person gets saras. So when a person's getting saras to this house, he has to take all of his belongings, and he has to take it outside. That's a proof, according to some Rishonim, that saras is not contagious, because you're taking everything out. You're taking all this stuff out. It's not a contagious machlo. It's you're taking it out. So why? Because saras in the house represents that you got stingy with your stuff. Saras in the house is you didn't want to give something to your neighbor, but now they see. You know, that's the weirdest thing. They see that you have it, and you just didn't want to give me. Again, sometimes can't give everything to your neighbors, but sometimes you need a help. You need help as much as you can. But what's the saras of a person? So we all know, we learn as children, it's a Gemara in Erechin, Daf Tezayin, that says that when a person gets saras, we learn it from Miriam in the Torah, when a person gets saras, it represents the idea of Lashon Hara. Now, when a person speaks Lashon Hara, and we all fall, easy to speak Lashon Hara, and no one's perfect. And the reason, a lot of times, we try to analyze, it's good to psychoanalyze things, not always, sometimes we think we know everything, we psychoanalyze like wrong, but a lot of times when we're speaking Lashon Hara, the reason why we're speaking Lashon Hara is either because we're jealous of that person, we feel bad about ourselves, and we need to put ourselves up. By putting someone else down, that puts ourselves up sometimes, unfortunately. And sometimes we feel that the person that we're talking about doesn't really deserve what they have. According to the way we see it, is they have a certain thing. And, again, we don't know anything. And we feel that they don't really deserve it. Again, a lot of different reasons. We could psychoanalyze why we speak Lashon Hara. It's easy sometimes, geschmack, make fun of people and speak bad about people. But the whole idea of saras is represented in this pasuk, in that pasuk that I quoted. As again, the pasuk said that you have the eye, you go to the kayin, and he sees the nega, the eino. Why the eye? Why the eye? Because everything in life is how your eye looks at it. What is your perspective? How can I look the good way? You know, the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says that there's a difference between Avram and Bilam. Avram represents the idea that he was able to always see with a good eye, Ayin Toiva. But Bilam was Ayin Ra. And if a person wants to work on his Midah of Lashon Hara, of his Midah not speaking Lashon Hara, so he needs to Suras Ayin. Why is it called Saras? Because there's Suras Ayin, there's narrowness of the eye. It's because we see something a certain way, and that's the pshat, that's what we think the pshat is, and therefore that's what it is. But we know that's not always what it is. So many times that we speak bad about other people, it's, again, sometimes we make up things, and sometimes, but it's Lashon Hara, because we're not looking at the positive. And the Chiddushei Harim says, beautiful, he says that it's nega. Nun Gimel Ayin. If you take the Ayin and you put it in the beginning, then it's Einik. It's Einik. So we have the ability to look at things positive. A lot of it is just looking in a good way. They say that big people look at ideas. Mediocre people look at things. Small people always try to put people down. They always just look at other people. We could work on this. This idea of working on this idea of Lashon Hara. The Ibn Ezra and the Ramban say beautifully that if you look in the Torah, both the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, the Torah tells us in Perek Yigimel Mem Hei, the Torah says, "Vatzor asher bo hanega begadav yaprumim v'roshay yaparua," that his garments have to be ripped, the hair of his head has to be unshorn, "Val safam yateh," and he shall cloak himself to his mustache, "V'tamei tamei yikra," everyone should know. And the Gemara in Marikaton in the third parak takes this pasuk and learns all of Hilchas Avelus, that a person has to sit on the floor, and a person has to and he has to hit with his hat, and he has to. So why Hilchas Avelus? Hilchas Avelus learned that from this pasuk. So it says Ibn Ezra, because when a person speaks Lashon Hara about another person in Klal Yisrael, there's an Avelus here, because you're breaking the relationship of Klal Yisrael. So when a person speaks Lashon Hara, and again, it's so hard. So hard, but we all could work on it. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, he needs to stop himself and say, no, I could think positive. I could shut my mouth. I don't need to say this. Why am I saying this? Why do I? Because I want to tell a Gishmak a story? First of all, most people listening to it don't think it's so Gishmak. They might laugh a little, make you feel good. But why? Why am I doing it? I could be such a positive person. I could just look at the positive in things. Right, that's the situation we're in now. And again, it's a very hard situation. And we all have our struggles. And we all have our ups and we have our downs. And it's very hard. As I said, every single time I speak about it, that no one knows what anyone's going through. Everyone has different challenges. But if we could just try to just realize that we got to put a positive spin on it, if we can. And it's hard, you know. My kids were hearing this shit, they'd be like, oh, yeah, right, Tati, yeah, Dad. You should listen to yourself a little, you know. But again, it's easier said than done. But we all could look at the positive. A mitzoyra is someone that spoke Lashon Hara. Is someone that has to get this nega. Because they were breaking Klal Yisrael. They were speaking Lashon Hara. Or Pam, which is Shiva Torah Das, would often say, I've heard him on tapes, I've heard him quoted, that although everyone knows the Chafetz Chaim, as the great Chafetz Chaim, who knew Mamish, the Zekadol Hador, and he wrote the beautiful Sefer, there was nothing. He took some little Gemaras here and there, and he put a whole Sefer together, the Chafetz Chaim,
Hilchos Lashon Hara, really the Chofetz Chaim's favorite work, and he feels that was the fixing up a Lashon Hara problem, is Avas Torah, Avas Shalom. This idea that Avas Chesed, he wrote a lot of different svarim, Avas Chesed, is that if you show Chesed to one another, you just shut your mouth one time, start slow, and you say, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara, I'm not going to speak bad, I'm going to look at the positive, no one's perfect, only the Rabbanu Shalom's perfect. That's the way we're going to fix things up. We're going to look at positive. We're going to try to work on our deep work. We could all do it. They tell a great story. A great, great story. That Rav Zicherman, Big Rosh Koyel, in B'nai Brak, he once took Rav Osner, the great Rav Osner, the big posek in B'nai Brak, and he took him to the hospital. And he said that a certain patient in the hospital had a shiloh. And the shiloh was that this person was paralyzed. They couldn't get off the bed. They couldn't do anything. The brachos of Berachos HaShachar, which you say every morning, Sha'asa li kol sorki, I'm able to do everything. Should the person go and say this bracha? When Rav Osner heard the shiloh, he said, I need to go visit this patient. I need to go. He went up with Rav Zicherman. He went up in the hospital. And Rav Osner, the great Poisek, Tzatzal, he said to this person, I had zechus to learn in Lublin with Rav Meir Shapiro. And one time, I was Mishamish, the Gadol Hador, Rav Meir Shapiro, person that invented Daf Yomi, put out Daf Yomi. Everyone in quarantine. Baruch Hashem, more people have taken it on Daf Yomi. If you haven't taken it on yet, and you're in the middle of, you know, we're almost daf noon in Shabbos. But you could always start one daf here, one daf there. If you don't want to start Masechta Shabbos, you can start a different, smaller Masechta. But again, just some people have a lot of time on their hands, some people have no time on their hands. So again, everyone's different. But, you know, unbelievably small things. But, Rameir Shapiro. So, Rameir Shapiro, I was Mishamishim, and we were going to visit someone. And we were going to visit someone very sick. Rav Meir Shapiro went, and I was with him, and the person was in bed, and they saw the Gadol Hador walk in, and they couldn't move, and they couldn't do anything, and they wanted to get the Gadol Hador a glass of water, something. Imagine, Chaim Kanievsky comes into your house. Can you even imagine? You know, hundreds of thousands of people, just if you go, when it comes to Yerushalayim, the people and how you can wait. Baruch Hashem, I've been zeicha to go many times to get brachos from the Gadol Hador. And my father-in-law, with my father, right? He gave me a bracha for a boy, Chaim Zev. So he turned to him. One little story. Yeah. So he turned to him, and he said, "I'm embarrassed. I can't get the Gadol Hador anything." And Rav Meir Shapiro looked at him and said, the only thing, even though you can't move your body, you can't do anything, all you could be in control of is your smile. All you could do is control is your smile. So Rav Osner turned to this person and he said, you could say Shasali Kosorki, because although you can't move your hands and you can't do anything, you could be in charge of your smile. We could be in charge of not just our smile, we could be in charge of our words also, Baruch Hashem. But we could also be in charge of our smile. Even when things are stressful, and again, I'm really giving mustard to myself, speaking out loud to my recorder because there's no one here. But even when things are stressful, just smile. And again, it's easier said than done. I remember one of my rabbis, Rav Brizak, he was a lot of chinuch. He actually just got the corona. He needs a refuah shlema. He's doing better. But he held, which I saw, that even when you're in a stressful situation and things are crazy, you're at home with your kids or whatever, crazy situation, just start laughing. Do something strange. Just get yourself out of the mood. Just do something that will get you there. As the Chinuch says, "Achrei apulos nimshachu avavus." Our actions—we got to do things. So So sometimes we're in stressful situations. This is stress. This is anxiety. No one knows what's going to be. Everyone has different things that are going on. Things that are not what we planned. No one planned for this to happen. No one planned for all the kids to be home and not have school. And to have phone lines and not have enough phones. Whatever. We don't have to talk about that. And the phone thing doesn't even work. But okay. But again, let's just chazer over. So that's how we could be mechazek ourselves. So again, the first question is, what does tumah have to do with leida? So we gave a bunch of answers. Either Rabbeinu Bechai says that the idea is because of Adam Machava, whatever that means, or we spoke about the idea that the Kedusha, that the Rabbeinu Shalom was in the room, in the delivery room, and the Shechina leaves Kaviyachol, or the idea of Kedusha, that there's Kedusha there, three partners, but again, we're not in charge of childbirth, it's the Rabbeinu Shalom, so he's infusing the Kedusha, so when he leaves again, therefore, it's gone. And there's this element of a nega, that we have tzaras, that there's two types of maybe tzaras, one of the batim. The batim is an outside type of saras of for the house. Maybe you should help more for other people. And everyone, you have to know the situation you're in. Or there's the saras, the inner, where a person is dealing with his lashon hara, dealing with his achdus of Kal Yisrael, not speaking bad, and working on our perspective, that we can take the nega and turn it into einig, and we have to look positive, the ways to build ourselves, realize that we're doing what we can, be positive. We shouldn't look at others. We shouldn't look down upon others, and we should realize that we could bring the Rabbeinu Shalom into our lives. We have the capability and the ability to do it. And even though we're in this hard time, and no one knows what's going to be, this is the time to look within inside ourselves and realize that we could do whatever we can. Turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom, speak to him, make him part of your life. Let's work on our smiling. Let's work on positive words. Everyone needs encouragement in these hard times. And let us just keep on building ourselves. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos, an amazing Parshas Tazria, and Sarah.